Marie Varsos would have turned 33 years old today, but last year, the Nashville woman and her mother were shot and killed by Marie's estranged husband. Before their deaths, records show that Marie exhausted every option available to victims of domestic violence to try and prevent what she saw coming. But the system failed to protect her. From member station WPLN in Nashville, Paige Flager reports on how Marie's brother is fighting for changes to protect others. And just a warning to our listeners, this story contains descriptions of domestic violence.
After losing his mother and his sister, Alex Yon was overcome with grief. It was like being trapped in some horribly tragic movie.
It just hasn't seemed real, and it still doesn't seem real, and it's been hard to sort of process it.
To try and cope, Alex says he kept himself busy. So much had to get done, planning their funerals, settling their estates. It was during this process that he found something that spurred him to turn that grief into action. He remembers opening his sister Marie's laptop. It was locked. But then there, by the trackpad, was a sticky note with her computer password on it.
It was almost like a sign that she wanted me to have access to her computer.
And on that computer, Marie had been documenting her husband Sean Varsos' abuse and her efforts to escape it. She left notes to herself. She had texts from Sean. She even made audio recordings of some of their fights and Sean's threats.
It sort of weirdly sort of turned into solving a murder mystery.
Marie had left a trail, and Alex decided he was going to follow it, retracing the steps Marie took to get protection from law enforcement and the courts.
And through that process, I discovered the irregularities, the loopholes, and the failures in the system.
Failures that he believes led to the deaths of his sister and their mother, Debbie Sisko. On March 7th of last year, Marie and Sean had a horrible argument. In recordings found on Marie's computer, she shouts, "Stop! Don't put your hands on me!" before Sean strangles her. She passed out. And when she came to, he was holding a gun to her head. He threatened to kill her, her family, and himself. Experts say strangulation and threats with a gun are two of the biggest warning signs that a domestic violence case could become lethal. And the police should have responded urgently, but they didn't.
Metro Nashville Police Fire and Medical.
Marie escaped from Sean. And an hour later, she and her family sat in a pickup truck outside an empty police station trying to file a police report. Bruises were forming on Marie's neck, and Debbie was in the back seat comforting her. But on calls to police, dispatchers tell them they have to wait.
And they're working on getting out there to you. There's just nobody in the precinct right now. So what's going to happen is a patrol car is going to have to free up from whatever they're doing and come to you.
Got it.
But they do have to take those life-threatening emergencies first.
Alex, Marie, and their mom, Debbie, were in disbelief. Didn't her case qualify as life-threatening? Alex kept calling for hours. You can hear his frustration in one of those calls.
I'm trying to be as appreciative and waiting as long as possible, but my sister was choked out to where she passed out, and her husband threatened to shoot her and has threatened to shoot himself. So my patience is gone.
Eventually, Marie was able to file a police report that night and get a temporary order of protection from the court. Sean was charged with assault, and a warrant was issued for his arrest. He was summoned by the sheriff's department the very next day to pick up that order, but he walked in and out of the office without being arrested. The sheriff's department says when they ran his name, they didn't see any warrants, even though one had been issued the night before. It wasn't until days later, when Marie notified law enforcement of Sean's location, that he was actually taken into custody. And then another mistake. Sean was accidentally released early. And another. Marie was never notified, even though she signed up for the state's victim notification system. A sheriff's deputy failed to follow through and would later be disciplined for it.
My name is Marie. I was trying to reach someone about a police report that I filed.
And Marie even tried to fix the department's mistake. She called the city's non-emergency line to make sure they had her phone number.
I never got a notification or a missed call or anything that happened. So I just want to make sure my contact info is correct.
And then there were the guns. The court ordered Sean to give them up, but Tennessee has no method to enforce that ruling. And on April 12th of last year, Sean went to Marie's mom's house in a rental car. He had his guns, zip ties, and battery acid. Marie and Debbie spotted him and tried to run away, but he shot them on their neighbor's lawn. Then he shot and killed himself. In Nashville, nearly half of suspects in domestic violence homicides should not have had a gun. These barriers that Marie faced are not unique to Nashville. It's a challenge for domestic violence victims all over the country, says Ruth Glenn of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
Our systems are not set up as properly as they could be to address the unique needs of every domestic violence victim.
To protect victims, Glenn says there needs to be a coordinated response, but they interact with so many separate agencies that don't work together. It creates a safety net with too many holes in it. And as Marie's case illustrates, that's a problem, especially because domestic violence abusers are incredibly determined to exploit those loopholes.
When they decide that something as bad is going to happen, it's almost impossible to stop them.
And Glenn says pushing through legislation to protect domestic violence victims is not easy. Federally, it took 3 years of negotiations for Congress to finally reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act.
Sorry, if you would, go ahead.
And here in Tennessee, Alex took everything he learned about his sister's case and brought it to the state capitol last session.
I wanted to make sure that no family had to endure what we had to go through. I realize this won't bring my mother and sister back, but I hope that it'll help save others.
Alex helped write 4 bills, but because of concerns about expenses or implementation, only one became a law. It requires more communication between sheriff's offices and the police. But Alex says it's not enough.
For them, they view it as one thing that went wrong in their agency, but coupled together, they're like 8 things that went wrong for this person who was dealing with the government to try and get the help that they needed.
So he says he'll keep pushing to close the gaps that Marie slipped through. For NPR News, I'm Paige Flager in Nashville.